Well, this morning I'm going to finish up on this mini-series I've been doing on the family, and I know there's much more that can be said on this particular subject, and we've simply just scratched the surface on it, but hopefully the 5 weeks that we've been on it have given you an opportunity to sort of evaluate where you are as a family, to evaluate your relationships there. And just to evaluate it in light of what the Bible teaches. You know, is your marriage one that really reflects the relationship that Jesus has with His church? Husbands, are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church? And wives, are you submitting to your husband as the church submits to Christ? Is there a loving environment there, a peaceful environment in the family in which everyone is able to thrive and become all that God wants them to be? I think it's a good opportunity to just look at where we are. Is your family life characterized by the deeds of the flesh, which Paul describes in Galatians 5 as things like jealousy and outbursts of anger and dissensions? Or is it characterized more by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth? You know, it's so easy when we have problems in the family relationship to begin to point the finger and to pin the blame on other people and say, well, it would be that way, I want it to be that way, but so-and-so is the cause of the problem. They're just not doing what they need to do, or they're doing things they shouldn't be doing and so forth. But what I want you to do is just put the spotlight on yourself today. I want you to look at yourself, look in the mirror and ask God to show you where you've gotten off track, what you can do differently. Ask God to give you a repentant heart so that you could see your contribution to problems in the family, and you could repent of it, and you could surrender your will to the Lord and ask Him to use you to impact your family. One person, whether it's the husband, wife, or even a child, can have a great impact on a family if we're simply surrendered to the Lord, to His Spirit, and allow Him to work in and through us. Now today what I want to do is, as I finish up, I want to talk about something that a lot of you probably never really thought about. You haven't thought about it much simply because you, like me, are married, have family, have children, you have grandchildren, and so forth, and it's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to come home at night and be able to sit around the table, a dinner table with someone, and to be able to share your struggles and your problems with, and be able to laugh together and cry together and just be able to talk together. And it's a great thing. And if you have small children, it's a good thing to be able to come home and play with the kids and enjoy them and do activities with them and so forth. A family is a real blessing. But there are a lot of folks, today who really don't have that opportunity as we do. And they don't have that opportunity because they live alone. They live alone. And there's a lot of quietness in their home. And when they eat meals, a lot of times it's just eating at the kitchen cabinet there and, you know, at the countertop and so forth. And they don't have the opportunity to converse and to share their lives with each other. They may have a cat or dog, but they really don't have someone they can share their lives with. And I think those are folks that a lot of times are overlooked in the Church of Christ. You know, it's been estimated there's some 40% of a population in America today is single. They're single. About 61% of those folks have never been married before. 20% are divorced. There's another 14% that are widowed. Another 5% that are just separated at this particular point. So there are a lot of singles. The AARP estimates there's some 15 million older people that are living alone today. So there's a lot of folks who are out there and who are not enjoying the family life as a lot of us know. And of course, because of those statistics, there's obviously a lot of singles in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I mean, even within Crossgate, our small congregation, I've got at least 21 singles. And I'm not counting youth either. So there are a lot of singles in the Church of Christ today. And I have to say that I'm not sure the church has done such a great job in ministering to the singles. Now, I've talked with a number of singles over the years, and I know that a lot of churches try to have singles ministries and so forth, but those aren't always the best things. A lot of singles don't want to be a part of that. Well, first of all, you talk about singles, you're talking about a lot of different age groups there. I mean, you could talk about a single who is just out of college and someone that in their 50s or 60s or 70s and so forth. But a lot of times here are singles groups. And I've talked with singles who just didn't like these singles groups because what it did is simply isolate them from the church family. It made them feel separate, that they're not part of the church. And that's tough. So the question is, how do you minister? How do we, as a church, minister to those who are single in the congregation for one reason or another? Listen, let me say first of all, that all of us are needy people. That's why we're here today. We're needy people. We're in need of God's grace. The needs are going to vary from person to person. It really depends on God's providence in our life and how He's working and shaping us and so forth. Some may have a need financially because they've lost their job and it wasn't something they counted on. A lot of folks are single not because they wanted to be single. It's just God's providence in their life, how circumstances, He controlled the circumstances, now they're single. They didn't ask for that. They didn't want it, but there they are. And so the question is, how do we minister to folks with this particular need? I want you to look in your Bible with me to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, what we're going to see here is the church is really called to serve the needs of the body. And this particular passage, beginning in verse 32, is a passage that a lot of times people refer to and speak of the fellowship of the early church. There was just a closeness there. They loved each other. They cared for each other. Let me read these few verses, beginning Acts 4, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Well, as we look at this, one of the things I want you to understand here, I want you to see the early church's example. What was happening? Obviously, folks were being converted. It had an economic impact on the lives of many of these folks. We don't know exactly what was going on. I'm sure some of these folks lost their jobs because they had become Christians. I'm sure that probably some of them, their businesses were boycotted and folks were saying, don't do business with that person. But anyway, there was a lot of struggling going on in the early church. And mind you, there was a great host of folks that had come into the church. At the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that were converted. At the beginning of chapter 4, after Peter's second sermon, it says that there were 5,000 more men that had come to faith in Christ. So we're talking about a lot of people that had come to faith in Christ. There were a lot of needs within the church. People were struggling to make ends meet. And what you see the church doing here is pretty impressive. Basically, they were just pitching in. Everyone was saying, hey, I've got this extra piece of land, let me sell it. And they brought the proceeds to the apostles, laid it at his feet, and so it was distributed. And then you see the results of this, the results of their service. And I think one of the most dynamic verse here, in verse 34, says, for there was not a needy person among them. Think of that. There wasn't a needy person among them. The thousands of people, they had come to faith in Christ, all that they were experiencing, because their religion was illegal, this Christianity, there wasn't a needy person among them because they were caring for each other. That is what the church is called to do. The church is called to meet the needs of those within the body of Christ. Well, the principle, I think, is pretty clear here. The principle is simply that as we see needs, we're to be channels of grace to those who have those needs. We're to see what God has given to us as things that we're to use to help others. And even when we think of the family, I want you to understand that if you're in a family today, if you have a spouse, if you have children, grandchildren, whatever you have, whatever God has blessed you with, I want you to see it as an opportunity that God has given to you to minister to others in this way. Your family can be a channel of grace to others. Your family can be a means of reaching out to those who have needs. Well, you see, God's heart in all of this, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "But God has so composed the body so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." The NIV has it this way, "Its part should have equal concern for each other." You know, it's so easy for us. If our needs are being met, we can be oblivious to the needs of other people. We're just not thinking about it because we're happy and things are going great for us and so forth. And so we're not thinking about others. But that's not how God has composed the body. The parts of the body, the different members of the body, should have equal concern for each other. And actually is what Paul writes in Philippians 2. It says, don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. So how do we serve the needs of singles? Well, again, the families have a unique opportunity to serve. And I think that's what we need to understand. Your marriage can be a channel of God's grace. Your families can be. There are needs within the body of Christ. But you know what? It's not just material and physical needs. A lot of times what we're dealing with, and especially with singles, we're talking about social and emotional needs. Those needs are just as real and just as important as a financial need or any sort of material need. That's what we need to think about. How can God use us to meet those particular needs within an individual? And again, simply because they have those emotional needs, social needs, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're not as good as us, or, you know, they're not as important. They're extremely important to all of us. Psalm 68, look what it says about God. "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land." The marginal reading in my Bible here has this: "He makes the solitary to dwell in a home." That's God. That's God's heart. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he spoke to John about his mother Mary? It says this in John 19, "When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." That's what God wants. God wants us to care for those who are lonely and isolated. And, you know, Jesus said, God said in Genesis, it's not good that man should be alone. That's still true today. So the question is, how do we minister to folks in the body of Christ, to those who are single? Well, first of all, we've got to put aside excuses. Got to put aside excuses, because I know some would be thinking about now, "Well, I don't think anyone would want to come to my home. It's so chaotic. It's so chaotic. It's always a mess. The kids are arguing, fighting, and so forth." And so we have this notion that In order for us to invite someone into the home, everything has to be absolutely spotless, and we have to sedate the kids, and so that they're, you know, they're not arguing and fighting and so forth. And we didn't think, you know, we want to come across as having it all together. We have it all together, and we're not struggling with this, and we are here to help you who are struggling. So we want to minister out of our strength rather than our weakness. And we don't want anyone else to see our struggle, our weakness. But the reality is, I believe that singles want to come in and experience authentic family life. Authentic family life. You know, because even the singles are brought up in homes, and I'm sure that there were fights and arguments, and there was clutter and this and that. And so maybe experiencing some of this authenticity would stir up some good memories for these folks. But we got to quit putting aside excuses and think that I can only minister effectively to people if I've got it all together, and if I've got it all together and my home is just a model home that I could hold up and say, this is it. This is the standard. This is what God wants the home to be like. Because I think if we're always waiting for that moment where everything's all together, we're never going to do anything. We're never going to do anything. We're going to keep putting it off. So we got to put aside excuses. How do we get started on this? First of all, we got to build bridges. Got to build bridges. Building bridges, and actually it runs both ways. Those who are married and with families, you need to reach out to those who are singles. You need to get to know them. Find out about them. Find out about what God has done in their life. Some of the neatest people in the world, some of the godliest people in the world I've met, been single folks. They're single. We need to reach out to them. And it's not only us just ministering to them. Let me tell you, they're going to minister to us as well. Secondly, we got to open up our heart and home to them. We got to invite them in. We got to invite them in. Say, I want to get to know you. I want you to come in to be a part of our family. You know, there's the results. If we will reach out and serve the singles, a few things will happen. First of all, singles feel cared for, part of the church family. I feel cared for. But the reality is a lot of times singles don't feel a part of a church family because they're looking around and seeing all these couples and all these children and so forth, and they're feeling like isolated and sort of on an island themselves. They feel like, I don't quite fit in. But we need for them to fit in. Not only is it good for them to feel cared for, but I want you to understand the church as a whole is going to be much healthier if, in fact, we enfold the singles into our lives. We've got to. There's a book that was written. It's called Single Not Separate, How to Make the Church a Family. And in this particular book, she mentioned several things. Benefits for singles, and then secondly, benefits for families. Look at some of the benefits for the singles here. By forging friendships with families, you gain a sense of belonging unlike what you experience with singles. And again, that is so true. Singles ministries can serve a purpose, but they're really limited in terms of how they're going to minister to the single. I believe that singles long for this sort of family life to be included in these families. Secondly, you derive a great sense of worth from friendships with families. Thirdly here, it broadens opportunities for social events and recreational activities. It's nice to be able to share meals with someone periodically. Imagine going home every day and it's just you finding some in the fridge. It's, that would be tough, wouldn't it? It gives you the opportunity to strengthen the marriages of close friends by practical support, prayer, and helping them in the work of child raising. And this is where families really can benefit from that. And we'll see this in a minute. I remember when we were in Peru, one of the missionaries that we met, got to know down there, is named Claudia. Claudia is a single lady from Colombia, and she's working there. And actually, I believe our church is going to begin supporting her. But Claudia was telling us that she's the only single on the team, and there are probably 8 or 9 missionaries there. But she said a lot of times what she would do if she finds herself getting down and depressed, she calls up one of the missionaries and says, "Can I have your children for a while?" And it renews her. I know y'all would love to have a Claudia here, wouldn't you? And rent a kid and loan out a kid. But anyway, it was just an emotional boost for her. It really helped her emotionally, and it was something she needed so she could continue ministering effectively there. Well, another thing it does, it helps you feel like you fit in and are some sort of anomaly. And I know that is the case a lot of times, especially if there's a single person who has at one time been married, or through divorce, through death, they're now single. And let me tell you, that's a tough transition. That is a tough transition for people to make. Because the two became one, and now there's been an amputation. And now it's almost like you're half a person. And so it's easy to really struggle in that area. And I believe most singles will struggle somewhat in that area. And then lastly, it offers refreshing, safe, and no-pressure experiences with opposite sex. So those are benefits, again, for the single person, and certainly it will help to minister to them and their emotional needs, their social needs. But there are lots of benefits for the family as well. First of all, your children can have a strong Christian role model, and these singles can reinforce the values that the parents are trying to instill in their children. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but we certainly have. And we certainly have as we are raising our children. Just having some folks who are single. My sister, for one, was single. She had a tremendous impact on our kids and on the cousins and so forth. So it's an opportunity for families to benefit. And it's great to have someone that will reinforce the values that we're trying to communicate to our children. Secondly, singles can provide extra help. They can pitch in and help with things, especially with babies or toddlers. They can assist in emergencies and when unexpected needs arise. They can develop a deep love for the children or their married friends. They can provide times for the couples to share together. Well, and they can do so many other things. They can be a real encouragement spiritually to the families. They can encourage and can challenge. So as we talk about families, I realize that, we've talked about married couples, marriages and so forth, and we've talked about parenting. And I realize when you talk about family life, that each Sunday everything's not going to be quite as relevant for everyone. Talk about married folks, not everyone's married. Talk about parenting, not everyone has kids. Talk about singles, not everyone is single. But I want you to understand, these are needs that have to be met. And so it's going to impact all of us. So my question is this. Are you willing, if you're married, if you have a family, are you willing to see your family as a channel of God's grace to those who are single? Are you willing to get to know them? Invite them into your home and into your heart. Are able to minister to them. And my prayer for us as a body is that we would be able to say, along with what is said in Acts 4:34, that there was not a needy person within the church. That would be the goal. Not a needy person at Cross Gate. Material needs are being met. Physical needs are being met. Emotional needs are being met. Spiritual needs are being met. But in order for us to reach that point, we're going to have to be as the early church, where they basically said, this doesn't belong to me. My family is a stewardship from God. My time is a stewardship from God. I want to use it all for His glory, for the building up of the body of Christ. May God help us to minister effectively to each person for His glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the singles at Cross Gate. Lord, I realize that a lot of the folks who are single, it's not because they chose that. But Lord, it's something that You allowed in their lives. And Father, I pray that each single person here, for whatever reason they may be single, they may feel cared for and loved. They may know that their needs are important. Their emotional needs are important. May they realize that they're no different from anyone else in this church. Lord, all of us have needs. We're all needy people. And unfortunately, a lot of times, some of the needs of singles are just sort of swept under the rug and not really addressed effectively. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to really reach out to care for and minister so that it can be said of us here at Cross Gate, even as it was of the early church, there was not a needy person among them. Lord, by Your Spirit, would You make that true in our lives here? Help us to really care for each other. Help us to esteem others as more important than ourselves. That we would not look after our own personal interests, but also the interest of others. And Lord, keep us from thinking that we have to have it all together before we can minister. Now, that's such a lie that Satan pushes over on us. We feel like we have to just be able to do everything perfectly and just roll out the red carpet. Lord, I pray that in our neediness, we could minister to others in Your name. And so we lift this up to You and pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.